servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. And she said, "How long are you going to stay drunk?" And said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they rose and worshipped the Lord before the Lord, and then went back to the home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel and said, "Because I asked the Lord for him."
I spoke about the Magnificat and said about how Mary's prayer was very similar to Hannah's. And knowing that I was going to speak on Mother's Day and our new topic about how we sort of see Jesus in the Old Testament and through that, it got me thinking a little bit about the similarity between the two. And as it's Mother's Day, I thought it would be good to look at a couple of mothers from the Bible, and Hannah and Mary were quite, I think, good examples to look at. Their two sons, you know, their stories take place quite a long time apart from each other, but the two stories and their how they come to motherhood are quite different, but also quite both an inspiration and encouragement to mothers today, and obviously to us as Christians. You know, we see an example in them both. Their sons would end up living lives dedicated to God, as we saw in the reading that Ruth read. Hannah comes to motherhood in a very different way, perhaps, to Mary. And I'll say a bit more about that in a moment. But obviously we see her yearning for motherhood. We didn't read it, but in another bit of 1 Samuel, she's there. She sees her husband's other wife have lots of children, and she doesn't have any. And she's yearning for this child. And we see in that reading her desperation and her emotions overcome her as she begs and prays that she will be able to become a mother. And she makes a promise with God that if she does have a son, she will give him back to God in service. And we see that happens when he's weaned. Hannah takes him to the temple and hands him over to Eli so that he can serve God. He, like Samson before him, becomes a Nazarite. The bit about not cutting his hair and not drinking wine and things like that is all his service to God. So there's this yearning in Hannah, this desperation to be a mother, something that many here and others that we all know probably experienced. Mary, on the other hand, has motherhood sort of thrust upon her a little surprisingly. When she least expected it, suddenly she's being told that she's going to be a mum. She's probably about 15 years old, not yet married. It's all a little bit shocking. But she says yes. You know, it can't have been a situation that was easy. And for some, the scenario of Hannah may be something that we can relate to. For others, the shock of motherhood that perhaps Mary experienced is a little bit more relatable. You know, not planned, and suddenly you've got to get used to it all. The other week at home group, we were talking about one of the sermons we've had recently and how, you know, what does that say to us, and how can we sort of put that into practice? And sometimes it can be quite difficult to read these stories that happened 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago and think, how can we transcribe that into our life today. You know, it is hard perhaps to look at two women who lived in a world that we would struggle to even comprehend what was going on and what was happening back then, and see what that can teach us, both for motherhood and more widely as followers of God. And I think, you know, there is in both Mary and Hannah this willingness that they show in their respective situations that fills them both with joy. We see that in 1 Samuel 18. She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. You know, the joy of that fills her. And then also in Luke 1:38, Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. You know, we see in both of them this joy and love that they see. And we see that through their relationships with their children as the story progresses. Both Hannah and Mary's sons were consecrated to God's service. Samuel, as a prophet, would anoint kings. Jesus, who was God's son, was the incarnate who would fill the prophecies, and as John the Baptist put it, take away the sins of the world. Both have great purposes, yet without their mothers it doesn't happen. So their purpose, their place, although perhaps understated, is massively important. Hannah hands over her precious son to Eli so he can grow up and serve God. Mary accepts her place as Jesus' mother, watches him grow and then start his ministry, sees him crucified, rise again, and then ascend into heaven. Both of them must have experienced quite incredible emotions in that situation, handing over a one-year-old to a priest that you're going to only then see once a year. My parents waited till I was nine before sending me to away to school, so I think at one would be a bit early. They've got that peace of God in those difficult times, and I think that's something that we need to learn to lean into. I don't know how many of you saw it, but on Friday there was a referendum in Ireland about sort of removing motherhood and family from the constitution, and I think thankfully it was absolutely thrashed. You know, I think one of them was beaten by 70% and the other by like 69%. You know, I think the people recognised the importance of motherhood and family and said this is something that we should hold on to. But, and I think sometimes these ideas come out of a simplicity or a assumed simplicity. Motherhood is easy. There was a quote that I found that made me chuckle. I think it was from the Golden Girls, and it said, "If motherhood was easy, fathers would do it." I think it's a little unfair because there's some amazing dads out there who do it for both. But it got me thinking, and years ago when the groups of the ladies for the church, we used to go away for a long weekend to Cherish, my tactic for this weekend without Lucy around was to get the kids in the car and go to my parents. Because, and arrive home shortly before Lucy to a pristine house, nothing broken, clean children, and look, we did it. You know, and every day, you know, I am so grateful for all that Lucy does as a mum, and I'm sure that's a sentiment that is shared by many like me who are here today. You know, we try our best, but we're just, you know, things get messy when we're in charge. I didn't, you know, it was a family service. I didn't want to talk for hours. And I hope what I've kind of shared today with the quiz and the little video skits earlier, you know, mums, you do a fantastic job for the children, even when they're exhausted from having stayed up all night. You know, all the difficulties that they may experience. My dad, I'm 43 in a few months' time, and my dad every year likes to remind me that the first 43 or 44 or 45 years are the hardest as a father. So, you know, it doesn't stop. And I think what I want to say is one massive thank you to all of you and to those who provide care and nurture to the children of the church it is appreciated wholeheartedly. So before our final hymn, I just want to finish with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift up all mums to you today, those who have yearned for motherhood and those to whom it was a shock. Bless them so they can care for their children with the same bold selflessness Mary and Hannah showed their sons, Samuel and Jesus. Help us to show our gratitude to our mums and all those women in the church and our lives who love and nurture us. Amen.